Welcome back. You're listening to Eye on the Outdoors award-winning radio show. Now, here's your host, Ray Eye.
There I was, back in the wild again. And I felt right at home, where I belong. I had that feeling coming over me again. Just like it happened so many times before. Old Fred Bear, walk with me down the trails again. Take me back, back where I belong. Old Fred Bear, I'm glad to have you at my side, my friend. And I've torn you in the big hunt for far too long.
Welcome back to the campfire, your host Ray Eye. We're going into story time. Got a special story time this week as we continue our turkey hunting series. I'm going to talk about my history of camouflage and turkey hunting and social electronic media today. Being in the outdoor industry, hunting industry for more than 40 years, I've seen a lot of things over the years. What a change in the turkey hunting world since I started way back when. So in this story time, I'm going to give you some history of things I've seen in my 50 plus years of turkey hunting. In regards to camouflage, here we go. Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story time is hunting old school versus new school. History of camo and electronic social media. I am a turkey hunter. I have been a turkey hunter for well over 50 years. Some call me old school. I come from a time before turkey guns, turkey loads, portable blinds, decoys, social media, cell phones, camouflage. There just wasn't any camouflage. Head nets, gloves, any of those things the turkey hunters use today. A lot of my early day turkey hunting was on National Forest in the Missouri Ozarks. It was basically hand-to-hand combat on those ridges, getting set up under the lip of a hill, the bend in an old logging road on a steep ridge to call in an old gobbler. I'm going to tell you my history of camouflage. I think it's important we all remember the history of our sport and where we came from. A lot of young turkey hunters today really don't have any idea how all this developed with all the wonderful equipment that is available today to help you be a more successful turkey hunter. Every person is different and will use a different amount or type of equipment, but they should always use what's going to work best for them and help them in any given situation in turkey hunting. Something to remember, in the 1930s, the 1940s, the 1950s, 1960s, there wasn't any camouflage. No hunters were camouflaged. Duck hunters were wearing brown pants, brown jackets. Everyone I grew up with turkey hunting wore bib overalls, blue jean jumper jackets, farm jackets, a lot of flannel shirts. But there was a woodland green pattern from the military, dark and light green and a pattern in brown and tan. And in the 1960s, Fred Bear wore a woodland camo shirt. That's the first camouflage that hunters at that time had ever seen. So bow hunters started wearing this woodland-type camouflage, and the duck hunters picked it up. I come from a time where our bow hunting camps were all recurves and longbows, and no one had any camouflage, and everybody hunted from the ground. But it only took one of our hunters in our camp in the early 70s to come in with a woodland camo shirt that sparked conversation around the campfire. In my early days turkey hunting, I'd never seen any type of camouflage. One day, I was looking at a magazine, Sports Afield, and in this magazine, Colonel Dave Harbor was hunting in Alabama. There was three other guys in his group. In the photos, they were sitting on a porch wearing camouflage, pants and shirt. And when I saw that and I saw the hunting pictures of them holding a turkey in that Sports Afield, that early 1970s Sports Afield, I wanted to wear that camouflage because I wanted to look like a turkey hunter. I wanted to belong to the turkey hunting fraternity because I wanted to be a turkey hunter. I wanted to look like a turkey hunter, and that's why I looked for camouflage. We couldn't find any camouflage anywhere. Well, my mom finally found some woodland camouflage pattern in a store called Kohler City Supply. And they had just got this in because it was just starting to become popular among waterfowl hunters and archery hunters. Hadn't really gotten popular with the turkey hunting fraternity as yet. Well, that was one of my prized possessions. I now could look like a turkey hunter. The other thing I saw in that magazine article was they had darkened their face. They'd used some sort of military face paint. Well, I didn't have that, so I used a burnt cork. I read someplace where you could burn a cork and blacken your face. This way, I would look like a turkey hunter. on an early turkey hunt in 1972. I had my new camo on, I darkened my face, and I killed a turkey, and I went to the check station. And when I pulled into the check station, the guy running the check station in the local gas station came out and said, "What in the world are you wearing? What is that on your face?" And then he yelled back, "Hey guys, come out here and look at this. You got to see this." And they all made fun of me, and they laughed at me. None of them had ever seen this. I was like the first turkey hunter to show up at a check station wearing camouflage in those days. You can look at old pictures of me in the early 70s with a turkey feather in my hat. I got a camo Jones-style hat and a woodland camouflage pattern. I was very, very proud of that. But no one that I hunted with wore any camouflage. And as I continued my turkey camps into the mid-70s, to the late 70s, I went back to just wearing my bib overalls and flannel shirts. The first of today's modern camouflage companies was around 1980, 1981. Tree Bark, my good friend Jim Kermley, came out with Tree Bark. By 1983, he had this on the market, and you could find it in some stores, but it was at some of the shows. It wasn't until 1986 before we had Realtree and Mossy Oak, so camouflage is relatively new. Now, camouflage will, in fact, help you blend into a certain area or terrain. You still have to set still. I've never said that camouflage doesn't work, but what I have said is that you can hunt without it if you set still. Our ancestors hunted without camouflage. But from the 1960s and 1970s turkey camps and turkey hunting I did, when we got into the 80s with VHS video, and now magazines started doing more and more turkey hunting articles. There was very few of those when I started hunting. And you saw everyone wearing camouflage. I have to believe a lot of the turkey hunters at that time also got the camouflage because they wanted to look like a turkey hunter. And also the industry was telling them they had to have it. And that's all part of marketing. And I was part of that marketing as I worked in the outdoor industry for companies that told me that I need to promote the product, and that's what we do. But I will tell you also that when I went into a catalog wearing face paint or had a head net on my head for a company I worked for, I didn't feel real good about it. It kind of bothered me, and I had never wore that and never used that, but it was part of the industry that I was within, part of the industry I worked with, and under contract I had to promote these things, but I just didn't feel real good about that. In 2007, I went to Africa, Tanzania, Africa, 21-day safari, ran camera, and was able to take some animals. And on that safari with the PH, the assistant PH, the trackers, and all the people of those hunts, we hunted 21 days without any camouflage on the ground in front of animals that would eat you. And it kind of brought me back to my roots and thinking about my grandpa and my uncles and all the camps we had as a kid, and no one had camouflage. And I'm semi-retired from the outdoor industry, not working for a company anymore, so I went back to my roots. When I returned from Africa that fall, I killed a fall gobbler in the Ozarks in brown pants and a brown shirt, and it felt good. And that's just my choice. It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else or I'm against camouflage. It just means I enjoy hunting this way. It's how I grew up and what I knew growing up. I really enjoy hunting in my traditional clothes. It takes me back to my roots and the early days with my family and friends and turkey hunting. I have seen lots of things in this long run with turkey hunting, both spring and fall, and all across America, Mexico, Yucatan Peninsula. But I've never experienced anything like on social electronic media today of turkey hunters. Instead of sharing knowledge, sharing with each other, and helping others, there's just way too much infighting within our ranks. What we see on social media so many times is that one person uses one particular gun and load, and the other person attacks that person, and they wouldn't use that. One person believes in wearing this type of camouflage, and this other one doesn't, so he calls this one names. Not the things that we need to have in today's world of turkey hunting. Then there's hunters on social media that claim how they hunt's the only way to hunt, and they condemn anybody else that does anything different. Others on social media will tell somebody they wouldn't have shot that animal, or they wouldn't have shot that turkey or that deer, or why are you doing this, or why someone that hunts in a blind isn't as good a hunter as this guy because he runs and guns on public land. I only hunt public land. And the bickering, the name-calling continues on and on. But the saddest thing is when we need to stand united, we're losing hunter numbers, tag sales, turkey tag sales are down across the country, and busy infighting instead of recruiting more hunters and more kids into hunting. We need to stand on a united front and protect our hunting heritage. Because if we don't, there's well-funded, well-organized, anti-hunting, anti-gun organizations that would be more than happy to do this for us.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't.